We're looking at chapters 35 through 40, but we're going to read chapter 39, verse 42 and 43. This is the reading of God's Word. So the sons of Israel did all the work according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses. And Moses examined all the work, and behold, they have done it just as the Lord had commanded. This they had done, so Moses blessed them. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us, all of us, an ear to hear your word, so that we may hear your word, and that our faith will grow, and all of us who are hearing your word will grow to the fullness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Father, bless us, so that we may, through your word, see what your Son has done and what he has accomplished for us. Let us rejoice and give you all the glory and thanksgiving. We thank you, and we pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The most of what we read from chapters 35 through 40 is the repetition of what we read in chapters 25 through 31. In chapters 25 through 31, we read the commands of God on how to build a tabernacle. Chapters 35 to 40 repeat all those commands of God, almost verbatim, and say at the end of each section that the Israelites had done just as the Lord had commanded. Thus, we are not going to look at these chapters in detail. That would be just repeating what we have already seen. But today, we'll briefly point out what we are looking at in these chapters. And we'll look at the last section of chapter 40, the last chapter of the book of Exodus, next Lord's Day, and finish next Lord's Day, the book of Exodus. And we'll begin looking at the letter of Apostle Paul to the Colossians the following Lord's Day. So please start reading the Colossians. The stories of the Exodus and the building of the tabernacle are the story of the new creation. The new creation is the eternal salvation that our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished. The first creation, the creation of the visible universe, is now under God's curse because of sin. And it will be completely destroyed when Jesus returns. The new creation is God's eternal salvation. God, in Jesus Christ, saves his people from sin and from this world and delivers them into his glorious eternal kingdom and builds his temple using his people as the living stones to dwell in them and live with them forever and ever. That is what we are looking at in the book of Exodus. God saves his people out of Egypt, and to be with them, he commands to build a tabernacle. Thus, it is our story in Jesus Christ. Jesus saved us out of this world and sin, and he builds his temple, using all of us as the living stones. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, all the way to 22 says, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 5 says, you, meaning Christians, also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So the story that we are reading in the book of Exodus is our story, because it is exactly what Jesus Christ has done for us, that He saved us from this world, and now He builds the temple, the tabernacle, so that He could be with us forever and ever. Building the tabernacle is the new creation story. The first creation in Genesis, when you see the pattern of that creation, first you will hear what God says. God says, let there be light. Then there was light. Exactly what He commands it is. And God saw that the light was good. He saw it, He examined it, and He blessed it. That is exactly what we are looking at in chapters 35 through 40. First, we read God's commands on how to build the tabernacle. God said, just like let there be light, God said, make tabernacle this way with this kind of materials. There's command. God says. Then, in chapters 35 to the 40, what we see is that the Israelites had done just as the Lord had commanded. And there was whatever God had commanded, just as He said. That's the pattern. When you go home and read chapters 35 to 40, that's what you're going to read. We already read about what He commands, God commands. And in our chapters, what you're going to see is that Israelites, they build just as God commands, and that whatever God commanded now is. Chapter 39, verse 42 and 43 that we read, so the sons of Israel did all the work according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses. And Moses examined all the work, and behold, they had done it, just as the Lord had commanded this they had done. So Moses blessed them. So it's like saying it looked good to God. The light was good to God. And the tabernacle was good to God. God saw that it was good because it was exactly according to His command. And just in chapter 40 alone, we read 7 times this phrase, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Verses 19, 21, 23, 25, 27, 29, and 32. So you see the pattern in the book of Exodus. God says, and there was, and it was good to God. Just like what we read in Genesis. So the story that you read in the book of Exodus is the new creation story. And because it is the new creation story, it is a story of what Jesus Christ accomplishes. Because that is exactly what He accomplishes, new creation. And in chapter 40, verse 17, this is what we read. Now in the first month of the second year, on the first day of the month, the tabernacle was erected. So it has been just 1 year after they come out. Now the tabernacle is finished. But on the first day of the new year, the new beginning, it relates the new creation. Now the first creation of Genesis was by the work of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. Genesis chapter 1 verse 2b says, "And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters." So there's the Holy Spirit moving, and you hear God's word, and creation begins. So it was the work of the Holy Spirit. The building of the tabernacle is the same. Contributions made by the people, and it was the Holy Spirit stirring up their hearts to bring the contributions. Chapter 35, verse 21, "Everyone whose heart stirred him and everyone whose spirit moved him came and brought the Lord's contribution." Stirred and moved by the Holy Spirit. The representatives of the workers, Bezalel and Oholiab, chapter 35, verse 31, "And he, God, has filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all craftsmanship." So it was the Holy Spirit who gave these workers the knowledge and the skills to build this, exactly as God has commanded. Chapter 35, verse 34a, "He also has put in his heart to teach both he and Oholiab." Chapter 35, verse 35, "He has filled them," God has filled them with skill. The other translation, "filled them with wisdom." So it was the Holy Spirit gave them wisdom, gave them knowledge, gave them skills to build exactly according to what God has commanded. So they're following, they're obeying God's word, and as they obey God's word to build this, it was the Holy Spirit who gave them knowledge and skills to build them. Nothing has changed. That's why when we do church, we have to do exactly according to God's word. And as we obey God's word, it is the Holy Spirit in us who is working in us to build His own church. And that is what we are looking at here. It was God through the Holy Spirit, using the Word of God, building the tabernacle. The presence of the Holy Spirit was symbolized by the glory cloud which was with them as they journeyed towards the Promised Land. And when we read the completion of the tabernacle in chapter 40, verse 34 through 38, let's go there and read together. Chapter 40, verse 34 through 38. "Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the sons of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out until the day when it was taken up. For throughout all their journeys, the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and there was fire in it by night in the sight of all the house of Israel. And that's how the book of Exodus ends. So after the tabernacle is finished, God's glory fills the tabernacle. And the same thing happened when the temple was completed later by King Solomon. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 10 through 11, it happened that when the priests came from the holy place, the cloud filled the house of the Lord so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. So the glory filled the tabernacle and the temple, so people could not even enter because it was shining so brightly. And all this, tabernacle of the Old Testament and the temple of the Old Testament, point to Jesus Christ, because He is the true temple. And John chapter 1 verse 14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." That word dwelt in original language is tabernacle. So the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, tabernacled among us. And we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus, the true tabernacle, true temple, came, and He was filled with the glory of God, even though to sinners' eyes it was hidden. And this is a picture of heaven, the perfect completion of the new creation. The glorious place is filled with the glory of God. We read about it in a typological way in Isaiah chapter 4, verse 5 to 6. "Then the Lord will create over the whole area of Mount Zion and over her assemblies a cloud by day, even smoke, and the brightness of a flaming fire by night. For over all the glory will be a canopy. There will be a shelter to give shade from the heat by day, and refuge and protection from the storm and the rain." Yes, it is Old Testament language, but it is pointing to the reality of heaven that our Lord will come and accomplish. The new creation is accomplished through the salvation of God's people. Building of the true temple had requirement, because you, God's will was that you will be the living stones of that temple. But in order for God to use you as a living stone, salvation has to be accomplished. So, it is a redemptive new creation. It is accomplished through the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for our sins, and in our places He paid in full the wage of all our sins. And as you know, He lived that perfect righteous life for us. And through the redemptive works of our Lord Jesus Christ, God saved us from sin and from this world. And in Him, you and I are built together as the eternal temple of our God. In Jesus Christ, this eternal temple of God is accomplished already. And we see that reality in Acts chapter 2. What happens in Acts chapter 2? We saw it already. People of God are gathered in an upper room and the Holy Spirit comes. This is why after Jesus accomplishes all of his redemptive work and he ascends to heaven and he sends the Holy Spirit. Because all the requirements for building that tabernacle, it is accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ. Just like what we see in Exodus chapter 40, after the tabernacle is finished, you see the glory of God coming into that tabernacle, filling that tabernacle with the glory of God. Just like it in Acts chapter 2, after completion of Jesus' work, God comes to true tabernacle, his people, and he fills his people with the glory of God. It is your story. You are filled with the glory of God because the Holy Spirit lives in you. Now, if you truly understand that and believe that, I don't have to tell you what kind of life you must live. You know already. You must live a life that shines that glory. And this is the will for you. God's will for you. I don't think any of us here will sin something because you don't know that sin is truly sin. You sin even though you know it is sin. And you must stop that. You must fight that, resist that, because of who you are and what you are. That you are filled with the glory of God. The Holy Spirit lives in you. And what we see in chapter 2 of Acts, we see the same thing happening in a typological way in chapter 40 of Exodus. The completion of the tabernacle and the filling of it by the glory of God. It is the beautiful picture that we see in this chapter. This is who we are. You are his temple. And it is already clean and holy and righteous. Just ask yourself, how clean, how holy, how righteous anybody must be or any place must be in order for God to dwell in that. And if truly if God is living in me, how clean am I? How holy am I? And if that is how clean and holy and righteous I am, it becomes very clear what kind of life that I must live. See, God, even through Exodus, tells you what happened to you. God, through Exodus, shows you what he has done for you. And because of what he has done, now, what are you? It shows. So that you may know, you may believe, and you may live accordingly. You may live by faith. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, we are the temple of God in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit came to us and filled us with the glory of God. He lives in us. It reflects the reality of heaven within every one of us here who believe in Christ. Little section of heaven. Or you could even say the whole heaven has been accomplished in you because whole God lives in you. Our glorious eternal home, the new heavens and the new earth, It is eternally filled with the glory of God. It is not yet visible though, this glorious sight. But it is our present spiritual reality. It is already accomplished, and Acts chapter 2 showed us that it is already accomplished. You are filled with the glory of God. And we must shine that glory as we live our lives here on earth. The shining glory of God that is in you. Yes, we know we sin, and sometimes even by the standard of this world, it's filthy sin that we commit. But you must believe what has happened to you in Jesus Christ. It is hard to accept that as sinful as we are, that we are holy and blameless in the sight of God. That's why the gospel is so simple, and yet people refuse to accept. They refuse to accept fully. They just cannot see what happened to them, even though the Bible clearly shows them. And sometimes we want to disprove what the Bible shows us by sinning more. You are holy temple of God. God lives in you. And before He came to you, before He came to live in you, remember, He cleansed that house, His house, you. You know how when you buy your new house, I mean, if you have a wife, you know, she will clean it before you go in there. I don't know if that's a good example, but God did the same. He cleansed you. With His blood, He cleansed you. And He clothed His righteousness. Clothed you with His righteousness. It's like putting all kinds of new curtains and new carpets and just everything that is worthy of a new house. God has done that for you. He cleansed you and He clothed you with His righteousness so that He could now come in you and live in you. And that is what the Bible is telling us. So please, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, you must believe what God has done for you, so that you may know who you are and what you are, so that by knowing and believing that you live as such, that you will live by faith. Beautiful story. I mean, we've been at it for like many years now. 40 chapters in the book of Exodus. God detailed story of how He saved His people and what He has accomplished. It's all about us. All about what happened to us. Because it is all about what Jesus has done and accomplished for you. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, where have we gathered as we worship? What is our present spiritual reality? Do you see the glory of God filled in you and in this glorious place where you and I have come? Of course, this sounds crazy to non-Christians who doesn't believe. What glory? Oh yeah, they truly don't see any glory here. But how about you? Do you see the glory of God filled in you and filled in this glorious place that we have come? Heavenly Jerusalem. Do you see the reality that Exodus chapter 40 points to is completely and perfectly fulfilled in you, in Jesus Christ? That the reality that you see in chapter 40 of Exodus, even though it is a typological. So what you already possess is far better than what you see here. But it is your present spiritual reality that this is who you are. But remember, until we get to heaven, this glory is hidden. So the world will not recognize it. But Bible is very clear. It's already. And yet, not yet. That's why everything that we preach sounds so foolish to the world. Because anything that cannot see and touch, anything that is not here and now, is foolishness to the world. We're talking something that is not visible. And they will wonder in their hearts, saying, what if it's a lie? What if it's not true? This is why we just cannot make anybody believe this. Because of course people are going to have doubt. What if it's all wrong and false and not true? That's why salvation is a work of the Holy Spirit. When Holy Spirit gives you that faith, it's like you talk to this non-Christian. Long time ago, I visited this non-Christian who were dying in the hospital. And we were talking about heaven and all that. And then he says things like this. He says, I want to believe. Because he's scared. He's about to die. He says, I want to believe, but I can't. No matter how hard I try to believe, I can't. And at that, I want to say this, but I didn't say that. But I wanted to say, yeah, I get it. Because no matter how hard I try not to believe, I can't. That is how we are. Go home and try not to believe. See if that's possible. When Holy Spirit lives in us and He gives me that faith, when He makes me believe, what can we do? Oh, we thank Him for that. We give Him all the glory and thanksgiving. But there is no way I cannot believe. That's the difference, brothers and sisters. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. Yes, that faith has to grow. So there is such thing as a baby faith. Bible talks about that. So there's doubts and there's, you know, unbelief. But ultimately, all Christians will believe. That's why they're Christians. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, this is the purpose of everything. Look how the book of Exodus ends. You know, book of Exodus is called Old Testament Gospel. Look at how the gospel ends. It ends with the temple of God, filled with the glory of God, as God comes to reside. That is exactly how the whole Bible ends. It ends with heaven. True tabernacle, where God is and where His people are. And He fills that glorious place with His glory. And He lives with His people forever and ever. Same picture. This is the purpose of everything. Oh yeah, you might think your purpose is whatever, but that is not your ultimate purpose. You will not even remember those purposes you might have when you go to heaven. But this is it. This is the purpose of everything. Yes, it is important to come out of sin and come out of this world. But we must remember that what happened, that happened so that you and I may be with God. So that you and I may be filled with the glory of God. So that you and I will live with God forever and ever. This is the purpose of everything. Whatever that happens in your life, this is the ultimate purpose for those things that are happening in your life. God is working. He is in control. He's the one who plans out all things, and everything that happens in this world is happening because God planned. And God's plan and purpose of that plan is this, so that at the end, the true tabernacle will be erected forever and ever. And it will be filled with the glory of God, so that God could dwell in His people and with His people. From the Word of God, please see your eternal reality in Jesus Christ and rejoice. And let us give all the glory and thanksgiving to our God now and forever. Brothers and sisters, everything is accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what happened, and this will be visible one day. All the problems you think you might have in your life, it's not forever problem. It's not eternal problem. And all those problems are already solved in Jesus Christ, because even though you might have all these problems, let's say I have like 10,000 problems and I now die and I appear in the presence of God, and I will realize those were not my problems. And even when those problems you might think you have in this world solved, it gets solved, it means nothing unless this is accomplished. Because if there's no heaven, then so what? Your earthly problems are solved. Really, what good does it do? But God's plan has been accomplished, and you are in it. You are active participant in His plan. And realize all this, and be joyous, brothers and sisters. It's okay. Because everything that Jesus Christ has done and accomplished, nobody can negate that. You know, we're studying Hebrews in Korean Bible study Thursdays, and their Christian life is described this way. With faith, you endure. Yes, life is hard, but with faith, you endure. That's how the Bible describes our life. Now again, to non-Christian, this sounds so bad. But with faith, you understand what is waiting for you, what has already happened to you. And when you do understand all of that, it's not bad at all. Please go home and read these five chapters and see what God has done for you. And see your heavenly realities. And give God all the glory and honor and thanksgiving. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for what your Son has done for us, what he has accomplished for us. And because of what he has done and accomplished, now we know who we are and what we are. Let us live by faith. Let us live as such a people that are saved by Jesus Christ and who are blessed with these heavenly blessings. Oh Father, let us live by faith. We thank and pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.